I'm so thankful for the chance myself to be here, and I'm thankful that you're here. And I want to preach for a little while about when the going gets tough, because I realize that it does. And as I said, maybe it's not for you right now, but I trust that you'll find equipping for when it does. And so we're going to look at that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look when the going gets tough, while you find your place in 1 Peter chapter 4. I did hear this story about this pastor that just really had enough. He really just thought he needed a little time off, and he thought Sunday was the time to do it because it was such a beautiful day. And so he called the assistant or the helper and said, "You preach, I'm going to go." And so he went to a distant town and thought he was just going to go play golf where nobody knew him. Nobody knew he's supposed to be in church. How many of you understand church? Sunday's supposed to be in church, right? It's not like if, well, maybe, maybe not. It's supposed to be in church, and especially the pastor. So he went to play golf in this other city, and so it was a beautiful day. So he got there and he teed off, and it just went really good. And God was watching from heaven, and the angels around, and God just picked that ball up and put a little extra burst of wind underneath there and just made it sail down 420 yards. It just kept going and going and going and going, and kind of turned to the right a little bit, whichever way you call that. It kind of went to the right a little bit and got over there right to where the green was and popped down, and it just looked like it was going to stay. And he was just amazed, and it just rolled, and the angels were looking with disgust at God. Why are you letting that happen? Because it was obvious it wasn't his ability, it was God that was doing it. And he let it just peck there right on the green, and then just eventually drop right in the hole. Of course, the preacher was so excited and elated, looked around to tell somebody. Of course, he was by himself because everybody he knew was in church where they're supposed to be. The angel turned to God and he said, "God, why did you do that?" And God looked back at him and said, "Who's he going to tell?" So just because God's gracious to you doesn't mean he's approving what you're doing, I guess. I want to preach for a little while about when the going gets tough. The Bible says in verse number 13, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's," and we don't like the next word, "sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in another man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? For the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" It was an interesting time, specifically when these words were penned by Peter the apostle under the inspiration of God. He's in a time historically that Nero, the strangest emperor of Rome, was in power. History reveals that Nero had wanted to start over. And so he was, as history tells and stories tell, singing at least, if not other things, while Rome was burning, and had started this fire to purge and to make something more and more glorious and grandiose than what he had currently had. He was not all there. And we see, as through history, that when he found that it was not going to be seen in a positive light, that history tells us he was blaming Christians for the burning of Rome. They didn't do it, but he thought they'd be a good scapegoat, and so he was telling people that the blame lied laid at their feet. It could be that the Apostle Peter is preparing the people here, these scattered Gentile Christians, that they were needing to be ready because judgment was going to come, or severe times were going to come, or difficulties were coming. Also, we know that through history, this was written 64, 60-ish AD, after 64 AD, and that just in a few years, their temple, their beloved temple, center of worship, was going to be destroyed. Maybe that was the judgment at the house of God that's referenced. But I do know one thing, that when God starts shaking things up, He often starts at the house of God, whether that be the temple in that day, whether it be the church house, or whether it just be in the lives of Christians who are dedicated to His cause. You say, preacher, I don't think I like where this message is going. I'd love to preach a more bombastic, more encouraging message as well, but my first part's going to have to be this, that as the Scripture says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That word time, the word for it is kairos, or the time, not like it's time like this, but meaning it's time. It's the spot in time that things have all come together. They've come to a head. They've come to a point where something's going to come out. It's come to a time where something's going to happen. And so for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And so I'd love to say that every Christian in this house is not going to experience any kind of difficulty because of your stand for the Lord. I'd love to say that we'd have a great reprieve and that we would get to a place where once again, as it has been in other generations, that maybe it was a popular thing to stand up and say that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. You know, we're getting ready for Election Day. Amy and I went and voted early the other day, as I believe everybody ought to. We went and voted the other day, but I've realized that even in my lifetime, it's been a change greatly in candidates that put forth their message. I remember when I was a younger person that oftentimes on the flyers that candidates would put out, they would say, Sunday school teacher at something, something, something church, youth group leader at something, something church. I don't see much of that anymore. You want to know why? It's not a thing to get votes too much anymore. And so I see that as Nero was burning Rome and the Christians were getting blamed for it, I realize that in our culture in which we live, oftentimes people that believe in a traditional view of marriage, that just like the Scripture says, that God made man and God made woman and He chose for those two to come together in that fashion and be married and not two of the same. I realize that when you have that biblical stand about the life being precious from conception all the way to natural death, I realize that that stand is not always seen as positive in the world. And not only is it not seen as positive, but oftentimes people will look at you as the problem because your view is somehow hateful. And so this morning, I realize that rough times are coming for the Bible-believing church and the Bible-believing Christian. You say, do you think it's all over? I think it's going toward that direction, yes. One person put it like this, the world's not falling apart, it's just falling into place because we realize what's going to happen. They're not in love with our Savior like you are. And there will be times in our nation and in our world, I should say, that it will be seen as a friend of God to do something against the people who claim to know Him. I give you this first one, number one, in verse 17, that rough times come at the church house. I'm talking about the people of the church house. We're in the culture like Rome's, or Nero's Rome, that sometimes you'll look at like you're the problem if you're a Christian. D. James Kennedy he's gone long, but he's a Presbyterian pastor in Florida. And if you look on Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list, you'll see the D. James Kennedy's ministry is on there. Why? Because of their biblical stand against homosexuality, against lesbianism. And we see that because of that position that they've held that's rooted in Scripture, they found themselves on a hate group list. I'm saying that rough times can come, do come, and will come for those who name the name of Christ. I was listening to a report of a pastoral leader in Afghanistan. I didn't hear it myself, of course, but listening. And this pastoral leader, and I did not, because I wasn't privy to the other information, don't know how it worked out. He said, quote, "We probably only have 2 weeks to live. When the Taliban finds us, we will likely be killed." He said this, but we're going to stand firmly with Christ, and we are looking forward to seeing Jesus. You see, folks, there's things going on in our world. We enjoy freedom in our nation. I thank God for it. We enjoy that freedom. But there are things going on in our world that are as if they were from the dark ages that Christians are facing right now. I see today that as God says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, I realize this, that just like Noah of old, when God was going to judge the world, whose house did he start with to start getting them ready? Noah's house. And he said, Noah, there's coming a flood. And Noah had to change his whole way of living. He had to start building a boat. He had to start getting things ready. He started to have to find some little baby elephants. I assume he took little ones, not big ones. Some of the seniors from the church went to the Ark up in Cincinnati not too long ago. I'm assuming if I was choosing which two elephants to go, I'd have got babies. But God brought all that in. Noah had to change his whole life. Why? Because God was going to do some heavy-duty judging on the world. And I'm just saying, my friend, I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly. What I am saying is that we ought to be ready, that things might not always go the way you think they ought to go. Because as true as it is, when God gets ready to move in a very, very big way, he starts shifting around and moving his church so that they are prepared for the big deal that he's doing. And I'm convinced as I read Scripture that there's something big on the horizon. I believe that there's something huge on the horizon. So it only makes sense in the way that God works that he's going to start working in your life and in my life. Can I tell you what I see? I see Christians nowadays that are trying to get, you can choose not to look at this, but I see Christians who are all of a sudden getting sober about living for the Lord. I see some young people who are trying to get to a place where they say, my life is not my own. I'm going to have to start living for Jesus Christ because soon I'm going to see him. Yes, I know that there's the majority that turn a blind eye to all that God's doing, but I see that God is doing something in our nation, and there's some people rising up once again to be true Bible-believing Christians because they understand that as God is going to do something big on a worldwide scheme, he's going to alert his church and he's going to awaken this sleeping giant, I believe, to see what God has for us. I say rough times are coming for the church house, but I want you to look back in verse number 13. Not only are rough times coming and we ought to be ready for them. Well, let me give you this. Don't be too swayed. Look at the end of verse number 17 before I go to my second point. If that's what's going to happen for us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? My friend, the reason that God wants to shake us and get us ready is because there's a lost and dying world that will spend eternity without him in a horrible place called hell. And so I'm telling us this morning that the reason God wants to shake us good is to get us to see once again that the stakes are so high, that the need is so great, and that we as an army of the Lord Jesus Christ need to march and find those people who don't know him yet, or unless they be in the end of verse number 17. And what shall their end be? Those that don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do I see rough times, but I see as a Christian, you don't have to be worried about those. Look at verse number 13. You can rejoice as you walk with Christ, but rejoice in as much as you are the partakers of Christ's sufferings, meaning that you stand up for the Lord and there's a little ridicule there. You stand up for the Lord and there's some pushback there. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Think with me if you would. The Apostle Peter, who physically, humanly wrote this book, God inspiring, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, but Peter's the instrument. History, not the scriptures, but history tells us that he died being crucified upside down, because the last thing that he asked of his martyrs, or of those that martyred him, whether he be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die in the same way that his Lord did. That doesn't contradict what Jesus said in John chapter 21, verse 18, how that he said that that would indicate the way that he would die. But I'm thinking about the Apostle Peter. How's this little preacher going to feel when I've had a life of ease and I stand one day in heaven with the great martyr, the Apostle Peter, who did all that he could for the Lord? And I may not be much, and you may not be either, But I realize that we can rejoice as you get to stand and take a biblical foundation for every position that you have. Now, that doesn't mean that we invent martyrdom. Verse number 15 says, I don't say any of you should suffer, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Sometimes that last one gets some of us Christians. I guess some of you could get the others. If the thief gets you, hold your purses tight, ladies. We don't want that guy in here. We ought not to invent martyrdom. Sometimes it's amazing when people say, boy, Pastor, I'm just really going through it. The devil's really working. I say, oh, no, the devil had to work on that one. Looked to me like you gave enough fodder into your flesh that's what you're having your problems because of. We don't have to invent martyrdom syndrome, but we ought to rejoice as we walk with Christ. One thing I love to do is I love to see football players who will say, I'm going to kneel, I'm going to stand, I'm going to pray, and then let folks take whatever position they want to about my stand for Christ. Husbands, lead your families and say, as for me and my house, as Joshua of old, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care about everybody else. And you don't say it in an arrogant fashion. I don't know about everybody else, nor am I concerned about everybody else. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and let the neighbors think what they will when your car pulls out of the driveway on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Or ladies, as you get ready and they can see you coming out, well, looks like she's going to church. She's got her church clothes on. And looks like she must be heading to church and doing something over there. Let people think what they will as that worker stands and in his workplace doesn't cuss and fuss and discuss like all the other workers, doesn't knock off early and do all these things. That worker that just faithfully stands for the Lord, I'm saying that we can rejoice as we walk with Christ. And if there are some things that come along with that and people make fun and mock and laugh, let them do it. Don't do it in that kind of a braggadocious fashion, but let it be so, because as the scripture says, rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. A worker that sat with older folks, and that's what they did for a living, she said, I had this one particular patient, and this patient was always negative toward her kin, for her kids, for her family. She said, oh, well, as I recall, Callie was one of them. Said, Callie never comes by to see me. She rarely calls. Benjamin never comes unless he wants money. My son pays no attention to me unless he wants something. And this worker who was a helps ministry type thing, she said, I envision this older person holding up scorecards. Well, they telephoned me, so they get 1 point. They told me that my hair looked good, so they got 2 points. Well, no visit from them, subtract 5 points. She said, I kind of got the impression for this older lady that she was just ranking every member of her family. And she said, but only thought that for so long, because then I started thinking, maybe she's not just ranking family members, maybe she's ranking workers too, and so I better get back to it. And I thought as I read that story, I'm afraid we as Christians do that. Well, God gave me a beautiful day this morning. I'm going to say God is good. Boy, God gave me some birthday money from somebody. Boy, praise the Lord, God's good. But then I feel crummy tomorrow. I feel crummy yesterday morning. I'm going to subtract 4 points from God's score. Well, I've got some sickness in my family. I'm going to subtract 10 points from God's score. My friend, would you just settle it down this morning that all God is good all the time? And if somebody answered back, all the time God is good. Can you just settle it down this morning that God's not good because you got a good report on a test that came through? God's not good because the sunrise was a beautiful thing this morning. God's not good because you gained 5 or lost 5, whichever you're trying to do. God's not good because any of those things lined up. Instead, God is good because that's his essence. That's who he is. And I would challenge you this morning, yes, to realize that rough times are coming, but also can I challenge you to remember this, that you ought to rejoice as our name is written in heaven, and rejoice if we suffer things for the cause of Christ, if we get laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, whatever it may be, if we get some things that are hard for us because of our stand for Christ, let it be. If you suffer for good, rejoice. And I want to take you to one last thing and just give you a few moments. Look back, if you would, in chapter 3, verse 9. Just back one chapter. I give you not only, first of all, rough times are coming at the church house. We're not exempt just because you made it in, all the oxen free, and we made it in the church. Judgment's coming here too. Difficulty's coming here too. Hard times coming here too. But rejoice as you walk with Christ. Then verse number 9 of chapter 3, number third point, receive a blessing. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Yes, judgment's coming at the house of God. The church is not a good luck charm. Well, I'm going to rub this lucky rabbit's foot of this church and I'll get in there. It doesn't work like that. But look at what the scripture says in that verse. If we respond correctly when we're reviled, if we respond correctly when we're talked bad about, the Bible says, ye should inherit a blessing. Folks, I'm looking for a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I love to get a blessing. And the scripture says here that if you're not rendering evil for evil, you're not railing for railing, but instead you're giving a blessing and you're giving that blessing back, that ye should inherit a blessing. Look at the middle of verse number 9, if you would. Look at what it says, that ye are thereunto called. You're not in this spot by accident. You think God accidentally left you off his radar and somehow he didn't know where you wandered off to? God's not a forgetful parent like some of us are. He don't lose his kids. But look at what it says, that ye are thereunto called. God says, look at the verse, or the beginning of the verse, not rendering evil for evil. So you, God was in charge when you were getting evil. God was in charge when you were getting railed on. Knowing this, knowing that ye are thereunto called. God was with you when you were getting blessed, and God was with you when you were getting cursed. God was with you when it was all going your way, and God is with you when it doesn't seem like anything goes your way. God was with you. The Bible says you were thereunto called, and you're not on this in this spot by accident. God wanted to bless you, but all God needed to do was put you in a place that you could get blessed. That blessing at the end of verse number 9 comes when you act more like him than you do like them. Right? Isn't that what it says at the beginning of verse? Not railing for railing. Not evil for evil. That's what we want to do. Well, forget about you. That's what I want to do. You speak for yourself. That's what I want to do when somebody does me wrong. When they give you bad service at whatever restaurant, what do you want to do? I'll show them. When they don't take your order soon enough, or they take it wrong, or they do this, they do that, what do we want to do? We want to retaliate, and that's in a small thing. When our neighbor won't act like he should over there, what do? Well, we're going to show them. But the scripture says, not railing for railing, evil for evil. God puts you in that spot right there. You are called unto that spot. God purposely puts you in that spot just to see how we do. And God wanted to give you a blessing. He just had to get you and I to cooperate. But I believe many times I've blown it out of the water when I went ahead and rendered evil for evil. Railing for railing. You think that's good? I got a response for you. And God pulls back the blessing because his child didn't do it like he should have done it. Is judgment coming on this old world? Yes, it is. There are tough times coming for this old world. You read the end of the book and you see what's happening. But he's going to start his working in the church, the house of God. Going to get us sobered up so we can stand up and speak up for his glory. I wonder sometimes what blessings I did not inherit because I did not perform correctly in the situation. Are his ways above our ways? We don't know how he is, but I wonder sometimes if God wasn't holding something back, just ready to bless John real good. But then when John blessed out somebody else for what they had done, God says, I'll hold that for another day. I don't know how it all works. I'm just reading what the scripture says. That old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I would challenge you this morning to realize when the going gets tough, the saved need to get going. Get going for the glory of God. And if you're here in this room, don't be surprised when difficulties come your way. You're a Christian. Don't be surprised when problems come in your life. That's an opportunity for you to realize that God's allowed that thing, actually called you unto that thing so that he could bless you. Amen. And so you take that as an opportunity to be blessed of the Lord. Don't render evil for evil, railing for railing. But instead, when the going gets tough, the saved, the Christians, ought to go forward for the Lord. Would you commit to do that? And don't be like that one that said, boy, God's good. Got up, I feel great. Arthritis didn't bother me a bit today. God's good. Because you know what's going to happen the next day, right? Arthritis, Arthur would have moved into every joint you got. Some joints you didn't even know you had. You can't even hardly crawl to the coffee pot. And if you were so much proclaiming God was good back yesterday because everything felt fine, well, today God must have left you alone, didn't he? Because you feel horrible. God was good yesterday. He'll be good tomorrow. He's great today. He'll be good for every day since on because he is who he is. God's good, my friend. And if you're here today, I challenge you as a Christian maybe to re-enlist with the thought that God's good. My problems don't change God's goodness. He's good through my problems. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Oh, you are in the knowledge of Christian teachings, but you know down in your heart you've never received Christ as for the forgiveness of sins and as your Savior personally. My friend, this is of utmost importance. You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only way to heaven. And if you're not sure that he's your Savior, I challenge you. Your sins are too high. You can't ever pay for your own. And they'll drag you to an eternity away from God if you don't get them forgiven. And the only way to get them forgiven is not to come to church for 14 Sundays in a row, is not to be good to people around your neighborhood, is not try to let my good outweigh my bad. The only way to get your sins forgiven is to ask Jesus Christ to cleanse you. The choir sang nothing but the blood. Let the blood of Christ, his sacrifice, cleanse you and make you ready for heaven. Would you pray with me today? Father, I pray for every Christian in this house that they would once and for all take you off trial. They would once and for all realize that some crummy things happen in our Christian lives, that they would once and for all realize that God's good all the time. My little problems down here, and they are little compared to eternity, mean very little compared to what you've given to us. And I pray for every Christian that they would re-enlist with the thinking today that God, you're good. and trust you in that. And then, dear Lord, I pray for anybody in this room that's not saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would call out to you, ask you for forgiveness of their sins, and ask Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be their Savior. If you're here today, my friend, and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it today? If you're able to, would you stand together with us, everybody standing as the ladies begin to play? If God's spoken to your heart, I invite you this morning. In your life that you just can't get over, my friend, why don't you come and first off tell God, God, I know you're good. Now help me get through it. What's the scripture say? The scripture says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. Do you need somebody to pray with you today? If you're here praying, you want somebody to pray with you, we'll just, if you're a lady, would have a lady come up and help you. If you're a man, we'd have a man do the same, but let's not leave this place without you doing business with the Lord. Any more at all as they continue to play one more verse. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Need somebody to show you how to be saved? We'd certainly do that. It's a simple thing. Jesus died for you. All you have to do is receive him as your Savior. Maybe you're a Christian, but you need to be baptized. You want to. Would you come? Maybe you need to join. We're excited. I'll announce one family that's joining today. Maybe you'd like to join that family and join Buffalo Ridge. You'd like to come present yourself. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And I want to rejoice with the crowd that's here this morning. Thank you for being in church. What a joy it is. And I don't draw great comfort in saying that times get tough, but I just know times are getting tough. And I know you're not coming here to have a good luck charm, because this will keep bad things from you. Bad things happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. That's what God says. Just like a Christian isn't guaranteed bad things won't happen to them, the promise that Christians have is that Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. You're going to go through. The Bible says you will have tribulation, but he's with you through every one of them. You could ask the Mullins family that. You could ask other families in our church that are going through deep waters right now. The Lord has never left them lonely. I want to thank God for you being here today. I want to thank God for Brother Virgil, Miss Mary Ann Stout. They're at the back, right on the back wall. And they are a great, great blessing to me, an encouragement to me. I love them wonderfully. And they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're saved. They've been baptized. And they went to great lengths just to be here this morning. And as you know, we've been praying for Brother Virgil, and his health issues have gotten him to a low point in his life physically, but he's continued to stand strong, he and Miss Mary Ann, and their faith for the Lord, and I'm so blessed by their fellowship one with another. So they like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and so if I could see a motion that we'd accept them into membership, all right. Brother Stephen Gallion makes a motion, and Brother Shannon Barker seconds the motion. All in favor, say amen. Amen. All opposed, same sign. We'll thank the Lord for them. They're right there on the back wall. Their son, Kevin's with them, and their grandson. And I hope you get by and see them and keep Brother Virgil on your prayer list and letting him know that you're letting praying for the Lord to bless he and his dear wife. What a joy. Well, thank you again for being in church this morning, and what a joy it is. I'm going to ask you to, I'll slip out to the lobby and be glad to greet with you. And just if you have any needs, things that we can pray with you about, we'll meet you back there. But thank you so much for being in church. Brother Daniel, would you come and dismiss us in prayer?
Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given us as a church together this morning to be able to gather together. Lord, we do pray that you would bless as we go, keep us safe as we go, and Lord, bless the afternoon and then the service as we come back together tonight. And Lord, those who are bearing heavy burdens, those who are in the thick of maybe one of the hardest trials of their lives, I pray that you would bless them and strengthen them. And Lord, I pray that they would cling fast to you. We thank you that you've never left us lonely. Lord, we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.